You know, there's different definitions of the word success. You know, and you see people trying to be success in life, but actually, in Joshua 1:8, God tells Joshua how to be successful and prosperous and have good success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success in life. Right there, he tells us how. Oh, excuse me. Man, something caused me to sneeze. The Common English Bible says, never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so that you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objective and you will succeed. The Voice translation, or the Voice Bible, says, let the words from the book of the law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. Now, looking at these verses, we see that there is instruction here on how to have success. And we also see from this verse of scripture that God wants us to be successful, or he wouldn't have told us how to have success. You know, if you listen to some people, you get the idea that if you're a Christian, that God don't want you to succeed. You're supposed to wander through life like a beggar, no home, no money, dressed in rags, you know. But that's not the way that God wants it. Now, real success doesn't mean a certain position or accomplishment, certain things, or having a lot of money. Now, it may include all these, but real success is more than that. Real success is following, doing what God told us to do. And he told us how to do this. You know, real success is being in the will of God. You know, a person can be very, have money, have houses, lands, cars, and all that kind of stuff. But, the world calls them successful. But if they're not doing the will of God, they're not, as far as God's concerned, they're not successful. Well, that was a good place to have say amen. Okay. Real success is being obedient to God's word. Real success is walking on the journey that God has for you in this life. You know, God's will for our lives includes the journey as well as the destination. You know, successful people travel through their journey and they reach their destination at the designated time. You know, of course, our ultimate destination is heaven, but we need to accomplish some things along the way. You know, we need to grow spiritually. If you don't know anything about that, there's a book out there written by a person that has my same name called Growing Up Spiritually. Anybody ever read that? That's a great book. You know, then actually we're supposed to be serving God in some capacity, maybe in a church somewhere, working, doing something. You know, now I'm not talking altogether about ministry, but we're all ministers. Every member is a minister, whether not standing behind a pulpit, but you minister in the church in some capacity. These guys were ministering here, but they were ministering in music. There's some over here with the children over here, and they're ministering in the children's area. It's all ministry. Okay? And, you know, whatever journey it is that you're called on to travel in life, you know, some people are called to be business people and support the kingdom of God. Some people are stay-at-home moms and raise kids that will go out and be successful for God in their lives. Some people are in the educational field or the medical field or some other engineer, mechanic, plumber, whatever, rancher. All of these things are all, God wants his people in every area of life. And as we are there, you'll find that your trip will be very rewarding. Now, I want to look at some scripture here that we can use to help us to be a success in life. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on day and night. We wouldn't say book of the law. Today we would say the word of God. We would say the word of God. Now, what does the word of God provide for you? It provides a foundation for your life, a foundation for you to build upon. The word of God outlines the perimeters that we live inside of. It says that we are to meditate. What does meditate mean? It means murmur, ponder, imagine, speak, study, talk the word of God. That's what it means. And so this verse is telling us that we should have it in our minds and in our mouth. You remember, we are told to renew our mind with the word of God in Romans 12. Too many people think, give me a Kleenex, too many people think about the word, but they never dare to speak it with their mouth. You see, when you speak it with your mouth, that's when it becomes a reality in your life. Excuse me a minute. You see, many people they know the word of God, but they never speak it. And let me show you something. How did you get saved? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. So you can believe the word of God all you want to, but until you let the word of God start coming out of your mouth, speaking to the situations that's coming against you, you will not be the success that God wants you to be. You have to learn to speak to the mountain. I do a lesson sometimes when I'm out on the road called Speak to Your Mountain. Anthony's heard me do it many, many times, and so has Dwayne there. He's heard us do that because my dad used to talk a lot about that, about speaking to the mountain. Anybody ever heard him talk about that? I know many of you have. Well, I tell how I, on this particular lesson, I talk about how to speak to your mountain. We all have mountains to speak to. Maybe I should do it here sometime. I'll think about it and see if it happens, okay? But we believe in our heart, speak with our mouth for salvation. Well, and Mark 11:23 says, believe in your heart, say unto this mountain, be removed, be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Right? Amen. That's the scripture that this ministry is built on. That's the scripture that Dad walked off of the bed of affliction when he was 16 years of age. You see, what we say with our mouth in line with the word of God makes us a success in life. Now, I want you to notice, I said, what we say in line with the word of God. Now, there's a lot of people saying a lot of things that they think it's the word, but it's not. They're just saying stuff that they've heard somebody else say. That's why you're supposed to get in the word yourself. Yes, amen. Get in the word yourself. And outline a program of reading and studying and meditating on certain scriptures in the word of God, ones that will help you and bless you. Now, there's a certain scriptures that I picked up from my dad. I said, I think everybody ought to read these every day. Or every other day anyway. And that's Ephesians 1 17 through 23. And see, it says that it says here that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. Now I take you out and I read it like this, and this is the way you need to read it. May give to Ken the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of Ken's understanding be enlightened, that Ken may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saint. And then I go on reading all the way down to the very end. And then I go over to Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And I put my name in there personally. You see, sometimes we need to realize that these scriptures, sometimes we read them and they become ambiguous because of the fact that it's saying you or yours or something. Put your name in there. Where it says you, put your name in there. Get you, you know, make it real personal. You know, they got a song they sing, "What a Mighty God We Serve." You know, I like to put, "What a Mighty God I Serve." Yeah. Put my name, I mean, put my, me there. You see, that, those things will help you to be able to have success in life as you, and then other, if you need, if there's areas in your life that you need help with, healing, prosperity, protection, whatever. Find those scriptures and read those scriptures. Meditate on those scriptures. You don't want to meditate on scriptures about meeting all your needs when you need healing. You meditate on the scripture that has to do with what you need.
Yes, amen.
You know, we need to realize that we need to do what is necessary to be successful. Now, you know, learn to identify your assets. Now, I'm not talking about your financial assets. I'm talking about your assets here. We have certain assets because of who we are in Christ. And you know, that's one of my favorite things to teach on is the in him realities, who you are in Christ, because who you are in Christ, understanding who you are in Christ, helps you to be successful. But you see, we have assets that will help us to be successful in life. And number one is God's promises right here in his word, what he's promised us. Now, there's some people that are calling some things promises that are not promises. The Lord never promised to heal us. 1 Peter, by his stripes you were healed. That's not a promise. That's a statement. That's a statement of fact. Right? And if you were, then you is. Now I realize that's not good English. But that's why that puts it down into back, bringing it back to you. See, I, the whole thing here is bring all of this back to you personally. No, it's not for this guy or that guy. This is mine. You see, he said you were healed. He didn't promise to heal you. You know, the other statement, you know, he said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Is that a promise or a statement? Statement. See, we need to get a hold of the fact, get a hold of these statements and begin to confess them so they can become a reality in our lives. Yes. You see, a promise is something that's going to happen. A statement is something that's happening or has already happened. Come on now. Anybody with me? Good, good. We got the name of Jesus. Remember, before Jesus left, he told his disciples there in John, you can read it there in John 16. He said, up to now, you hadn't asked anything in my name, but ask in my name and the Father will give it to you. You see, what we need to realize is that when we ask in the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus asking God for it.
Yes.
See, And we have the body of Christ. You know, there's something about coming together as a group of believers that gives you strength. Anybody ever notice that? Hello. You see, another thing that we have is that he said he would give his angels charge over you. Isn't that right? Now what the Bible says?
Yes.
See, that's another asset to be successful in life. No weapon can form against me. Why? Because I'm in Christ, and because I'm in Christ, he's given angels charge over me to take care of me, protect me. And then we have the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Come on now. See, that's not a promise, that's a statement. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If the greater one is living on the inside of you, what do we got to be afraid of? In fact, David says that in his Psalms, as David's in the Psalms all the time. He said, what have I got to be afraid of? Because I've got my God. Anybody ever read that over there in the Psalms?
Amen.
Yeah. See, and another thing, we got God on our side.
Yes.
The greater one, the Holy Spirit, like I said, lives on the inside of us. You know, I think I've used this illustration before, but it's really a good illustration. How many of you guys, when you were in school, grade school, and you choose up sides to play, we used to play out on the playground. Now, we shouldn't, but we played tackle football without any pads or anything. How many of you guys played tackle football when you were kids and you didn't have no pads on or nothing? But, you know, and there was one guy that you always wanted to be on his team. His name was Harry. Everybody wanted it. And you always, you know, we'd see who, we'd choose up teams, and you wanted to be first to choose because you wanted to get Harry. Because Harry, you could have 10 guys hanging on him and he's still. You can't get him down. Everybody won't be, well, hey, God, I want God on my side. Now, Harry was a good guy to have on your side, but God is better. You see, with the word of God coming out of your mouth, and it can't come out of your mouth if you hadn't read it and meditated on it and studied it. That's why God is saying that. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Because, see, you can level the opposition with the word of God coming out of your mouth. Now, you know, you can't roll up your sleeves and double up your fists and fight the enemy. But you fight him with the word, speaking the word of God out of your mouth. The same word that created the universe is the same weapon that we have. God said and it was. God said and it was. And he told us, say to the mountain. Now, he was looking at a literal mountain, but we don't have any literal mountains, but we have situations, circumstances, all kinds of things come into our life that are mountains to us.
Yes.
And we can speak to those. You know, there's another thing that we need to identify. We need to identify our talents. Now, everybody don't have the same talent. Everybody, Amber playing the keyboard. I can't play the keyboard. And I can't sing like Anthony. And I can't play the drums like Dwayne does. But you know what? I can talk. I've always been a talker. My mother said I started walking and talking at 9 months, and she said, you ain't shut up since. That's what my mama used to say to me all the time. And I have no trouble getting in front of a crowd and talking, never have had. Even in grade school. I mean, I was in my first play. I got second grade. I was in my first play in the school play for the PTA. It was the play was the old woman who lived in the shoe. Had so many kids, she didn't know what to do. And we had they had a shoe deal there, and they had like windows cut in it, and there's kids hanging out. And Jimmy Horton and me, we were Pete and Repeat, the twins. And everything I said, he repeated. And, you know, that was just part of the play. I've always been able to talk. So God took what that talent that I had naturally and turned it into something to be used for him. Amen. See, God will take your natural talents and use it to help him. He will take your natural talents to work in business, to be able to help to support the ministry. Amen. Everybody can't go overseas, but some people can. And the people that can use their talents to have the money to help those guys go over there and preach.
Yes.
Come on now.
Amen.
See, here's what we need to realize, that God wants us to do what we can do. You know, Mother Teresa said, I can't do what you can do and you can't do what I can do, but together we get the job done.
Yeah.
See, it's everybody working together. You know, we all have strengths, so we need to develop our strengths and work on our weaknesses. You know, I mean, if you're going to play somebody in an athletic event, especially football, basketball, you look and study the film and you study to find out where they have a weakness, and that's what you attack. There's no use in attacking their strong point. It ain't going to do you no good. Right?
Right?
See, if they're real strong in the middle of the line, if they're real strong, I'm not going to run through the middle of the line, but we can fake somebody up there and we run a fast guy out around the end because they're slow. They can't get out there to get you. See, we got to learn how to take our strengths and use them for our advantage. What is one of our strengths? The Word of God coming out of our mouth is our greatest strength against all obstacles, against the enemy that's coming against us. You know, we also need to realize that timing is important for success in life. You know, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Drop on down then to verses 11, and it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time.
Yes.
You may know what to do, but do you know when? See, there's a time for everything. He said, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, a farmer knows what to do. He's got to prepare the ground. He's got to plant seed and harvest and all that. But the right timing is important. You know, okay, I got a lot of shade trees in my house. And the Bermuda grass and stuff don't grow good because the sunlight don't get down there. But at a certain time, right toward the, you know, there in September, they go through my yard and they put out some fescue. That fescue, it likes shade. It likes shade. Well, I've noticed that right now I got a good, nice green carpet out there where there wasn't nothing before because the sun couldn't get through the trees to get to that Bermuda. Hello?
Yes.
Come on now. You see, you got to know when to work the wheat field. You know, my grandpa, he had a farm up until I was about 5-6 years old, and down there in North Central Texas, he raised cotton. And you know, he would I remember I was up there one time, and he said, "Savannah," that's my grandmother. He said, "Well, next week we're gonna be picking that cotton." Well, and I said, "Papa, why do you say next week?" He said, "Well, it won't be ready to pick till next week." You see, he knew when to harvest.
Yes.
Now, you can take a fruit tree. When I was growing up there, eighth grade, nine, we got that house. And we had an old pear tree out in the backyard. Now, the wind had hit it and broke half of it off. But that crazy pear tree, it would get so many pears on it that the thing is bending over. And I'd tell my grandma, because she was living with us at that time, Grandpa went to be with the Lord when I was in the sixth grade. And so and I'd say, "Well, we need to pick them pears." She said, no, son. They're not. They look like they're ripe, but they're not ripe yet." She'd go out there and she'd feel them. She'd, "No." Then one day she'd say, "Okay, let's go pick pears off that tree." Why? Because she knew when to do it. See, there's a lot of times we may know what to do, but we need to have the right timing.
Amen.
You know, because if you're not at the right place at the right time with the right people, sometimes you don't get discovered. I know we went years ago to Nashville on a holiday, and we went on a little tour, and they took us on a tour of a studio. And the guy that was the head of the studio, he said, there are some people that are singing here in Nashville in different clubs and things that are probably better singers than some of these stars, but they've never been at the right place at the right time to be discovered. See, we need to be at the right place at the right time to knock the fire out of the enemy that's trying to come against us. See, whatever you do in life, you do with everything you got. Don't half-heartedly go at the enemy. If you do, he'll take advantage of you every time. You got to give it all you got all the time. That's one of my characteristics. My wife will tell you, she's been with me for 53 years. She'll tell you that if I do it, I'm going to do it with everything I got, or I ain't going to do it at all. But my dad taught me, man. He said, "Son, if it's worth doing it, do it with everything you got, or don't do it at all." I used to have coaches that tell me, "Hagin, you're not as good as so-and-so." But he said, "The reason you play is because I can depend on you. When you're on that court, when you're on that ball field, you will give me everything you got every minute of every play." I said, "Well, coach, that's just the way I was taught. My dad taught me to live that way." You know, there's some people half-heartedly study. No, if I'm going to study, I'm going to study. And I'm going to pass the test. They're going to have to do it halfway, and they're going to get maybe make a half of a grade. Come on now. Don't look at me like I fell out of a well. See, don't hold back. Don't half-heartedly serve God. Do it with everything you got. You know, I ran track in high school. You never win by running half-heartedly. You got to run with everything you got. You know, the only chance an athlete has of winning is to give it his all every minute that he's on the field. I believe that's true as we serve God. We have to, in fact, I can prove it by the word of God. We have to give him everything, complete control. You know, learn to focus on what you're supposed to do. Make a list of to-dos from the Word of God. I'm not talking about what somebody said. I'm not talking about what some church says or some denomination or somebody's doctrinal stance. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Yeah. I tell my students at the Rhema Bible College, and they've heard them there, all of them have been students, I say, learn something every day, even if it's what not to do. How many of you heard me say that? They all heard me say that. Yeah. See, there's a lot of times you can, somebody say, well, I don't know. Yeah, learning what not to do is just as important sometimes as learning what to do. Come on now. Hello. You know, focus our energy on being a success with God. How do we do that? We do that by knowing the Word of God and letting the Word of God come out of our mouth. That's the way we do it. God wants you to be successful in life. God, it's not a question of whether he wants you to be successful in life. If the question is, are you going to do what's necessary to be successful? Amen. See, that's the question. Because we know he wants us to be successful. Heavenly Father, talk to these people for a few minutes tonight about your promises that you have promised us, that if we would meditate on your word and speak the word out of our mouth, that we'd be successful in life. I thank you that we are going to be successful because we're going to follow you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Well, praise God. Anybody get anything out of this tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.